appreciate you being here tonight. Good to see all of you again. Seems like you're a family. I appreciate you. And I don't know if those boys were singing better or those girls behind me were singing better. I don't know which one of them was singing, but both of them doing a fine job, and I appreciate them, and I mean that with all my heart. I apologize for not being here last night. My wife, mother, and father are already in glory. And my mother passed away some 15 years ago. My father-in-law passed away 2 years ago. And my wife has a sister tonight who is home, who is lost and don't know God, unconcerned about God, bitter on church because of things that's been done. And got a husband that's, I don't know if he's been in church 5 times his whole life. And she's raising two boys. She's raising a boy and a girl. As good of 2 children as you could find. But I don't know if they ever, either one of them ever been in church over 5 times their whole life. One of them's 21 years old. And my wife, my sister-in-law was raised in church just like my wife was. And where they preach the truth to you.
Amen.
Well, she got teenage years. She decided she didn't want to go the God way. And she left church and hasn't been back since. And it's been my wife's prayer. My wife's got a brother that's a preacher. And it's been our prayer that God would save them. And my wife has never heard her sister say anything. But a couple weeks ago, her daughter come down getting sick. And overnight, she went to bed one night, woke up the next morning, there's a big old knot on the side of her neck. Didn't know why. They took her to the doctor. The doctor said everything was fine. She'd be okay. They're going to give her some antibiotics. It would go down, but instead of going down, it went up. So they took her to another doctor. And yesterday evening, me and my wife was getting, I thought everything was okay. Yesterday evening, me and my wife was getting ready to come to church. She had the car packed, had all her clothes packed up. When she did, the phone rung about 20 after 4. And I could literally hear my sister-in-law screaming on the other end of the phone. And Kim was saying, "Sheila, what's wrong? Please tell me." And she said, "The test come back. And Lauren's got lymphoma cancer, 21 years old. And so I felt my duty was to be there. My wife is the only thing she's got. She's the only one she'll talk to. And I felt my duty was to be there last night. And I apologize for not being here. But I felt I was where I was supposed to be last night. And I appreciate Brother Joe Hatt preaching to you. And she goes back tomorrow for a second opinion. And tomorrow around dinner time, if you're going to get a second opinion, I hope and pray that that doctor don't know what he's talking about. I really do. And but today, for the first time, I was out in the yard and I just pulled up on my four-wheeler. Did my wife come out there? Sheila squalling. She said, "Guess what Sheila just asked me?" She said, I said, "What'd Sheila ask you?" She said, "For the first time, Sheila's ever said anything about God." She looked at me today and said, "Kim, would you please pray for me?" She said, "It's sad that I can't even pray for my own daughter." And she said, "I'm having a call, ask you to pray for my own daughter." She said, "I can't even pray for her." She said, "And her daddy can't either." And she said, "What's sad, Kim? She can't either." And she said, "But it's not their fault, it's ours. We should have had them in church a long time ago." If this is what God wants to do, then I say, so be it. Amen. 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 But I'm glad I'm here tonight, ain't you?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, it ain't all about gloom. Thank God. It's all right. We sung a song that I told my wife before I left home today. I said, "Honey, we've sung a song 1,000 times at my church. It's all right. It's all right. It's going to be all right." She said, "What do you think?" I said, "It's going to be all right. I promise." Amen. Thank God. It's going to be all right. Amen. She'll be okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good to be here tonight in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm here, and I mean that. Been looking forward to being here. Tired in body, to be honest with you. This is my 3rd week back to back, and I'm tired in body. But I'm excited about being right here. I'm excited about being with you again. And I trust that the Lord would help us. I trust the Lord would give us that that we need from Him. If you got your Bible tonight, want to follow on with me, turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter number 2. The book of Ruth, chapter number 2. Far as I'm concerned, this is one of the greatest books of the Old Testament. And hard for me to not say it's probably one of the greatest books of the Bible for me. I know it is not the church epistles, but I do appreciate the book of Ruth.
Amen.
I appreciate it. And before we read to you, let me give you some background about Ruth. You know, Ruth is a Gentile. And she is, in the book of Ruth, this whole book is a book of grace.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you open this book up at in the book of Ruth, you see nothing but grace all through this book.
Amen.
I'm glad in your life, regardless of what area I may look at it in, you can't help but to see the grace of God.
Yeah.
In this book of Ruth and the book of Judges, the book of Judges is a book of gloom. Everybody did that was right in their own eyes. The book of 1 Samuel is a book of glory. That's when the Lord comes back in and gets a man and turns the light back on. There's a temple and they get a word from the Lord. And but from gloom to glory, tied between both of those books is a little old book called grace. I'm glad to go from gloom to glory. It'll be the grace of God. Amen. If you go from gloom to glory in this meeting, it will be the grace of God. If God turns your life into glory, it will be the grace of God. Amen. Thank God we all have gone from gloom to glory by the grace of God. Amen. And by the way, He'll turn my situation now yonder. Thank God in Rothman, North Carolina. He'll turn it to glory, and it'll be the grace of God. Amen. They may think it's gloom now, but it ain't over with yet. It'll be glory before it's over with. Amen. And not only do we find in the book of Ruth, it's a book of glory. It's also a book of new beginnings.
Yes.
The number 8, if you know numbers in the Bible, the number 8 is a number of new beginning. And if you was to study this book and go to counting from Genesis, and you'd go to counting, you'd find out that Ruth is the 8th by book of the Bible.
Right.
I'm glad to thank God when she met Boaz, which is our heavenly Boaz, when she met her Boaz, she got a new beginning.
Yes.
Can I remind you, when you met God, your heavenly Boaz, thank God you got a new beginning. Life didn't start at birth from mama. Life didn't start in a hospital, but it started out on an old rugged cross. Thank God when you knelt down underneath an old rugged cross, life began at Calvary. And I'm glad because of that, because of grace, we got a new beginning tonight.
Amen.
Amen. But not only that, Ruth, it's not only a book of grace, not only the book of new beginnings. The book of Ruth is a picture of our life. You say, why, preacher? Because this book of Ruth seems to start out in down, but it seemed to progress better and better and better. And before it's over with, thank God they're holding worship again.
Oh, yeah.
In the book of Ruth, first chapter, you can find a famine. Chapter number 2, you can find a field. Chapter number 3, you can find a four. By the time you get to chapter number 3 and 4, you can find a family.
Yeah.
You can find sorrow in chapter number 1, service in chapter number 2, surrender in chapter number 3, but chapter number 4 turns into satisfaction.
Yeah.
You can find a widow in chapter number 1, a worker in chapter number 2, a waiter in chapter number 3, but thank God by the time you get to chapter number 4, that widow has become a wife of the richest man in town. I'm glad to tell you, thank God. Listen, get your head out of the sand, honey. It's all right. Better farther on. The farther we go, the better it's going to get. Thank God you're living at the worst day you ever lived. One blessed morning, we'll set sail and land in that land. No more. Thank God I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. The boy at my church used to say it like this. He was from the mountains. He said, we're on the little end of something big. Amen. Thank God we're on the little end of something big. Hey, ain't you glad to be a part of something that the government don't operate and does not, does not rule it and does not tell it what to do? Thank God I'm glad to be a part of the bride of Christ. Amen. And the church does not need the government, thank God, to operate. Thank God we're a body. We're a bride. We're a building. Thank God that belongs to God and God alone. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad something. I was reading the other day, and they made this statement. I read this. That Barack Chisholm, member of the UN, said if we're ever going to achieve world government, one world government, we must first do four things. But the last thing he said on that list, the fourth thing was on that list was get rid of religion. Get rid of God. Get God out of here. Well, I got a message for Rocco Chisholm. Thank God that'll never happen. Amen. Thank God the government does not rule the church. You and I are part of something. Thank God that's going to get better and better and better. Amen. But let's go to the book of Ruth and do my best to preach to you. That's upon our heart. Listen, I want to read one verse of Scripture, and we'll do our best to preach from this one verse tonight. Listen what it says in chapter number 42. And Ruth has come out of Moab. You know her husband died. She's come to Naomi. And she's come out of Moab. She's come into the, in here to this country. And she's gone out in the field of grain.
Yes.
That was her privilege. That was her honor to have that privilege to go glean.
Because
there was a law given back in Leviticus that when you would cut your wheat down or whatever you're cutting, you would leave the corners. Don't back up and get them. Leave them alone. Leave the edges alone. That way that crowd out yonder, that ain't got the money you got, they ain't got the means that you have, they can come into the field and that was left for the poor crowd.
Yeah.
And they could reap. Maybe they could glean and glean around in the edge of the field and get enough bread to go home.
Right.
So she knows that law. And she goes into the field to glean. But while she's in the field, she's noticed by a man by the name of Boaz.
Yes, sir.
Let me remind you something. Boaz in this scripture is a type of Christ.
Amen.
He is a redeemer. I'm glad I know whom I believe, and I'm glad I know who my Redeemer is. I'm glad, what a word. Amen. Remember, there's a singing the other night in a meeting I was in, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed. And remember, oh, I got beside myself and stood to my feet and declared, what a word. Thank God, what a word. If you can't say nothing but I've been redeemed, you got the greatest privilege on planet Earth to say I've been redeemed by the blood of Calvary. Amen. Amen. But so we see that she's coming to the field. She's going to glean. And Boaz has noticed her. Oh, no, I'm going to tell you something. She didn't go looking for Boaz. Boaz come looking for her.
Yeah.
Amen. That is the way it is, ain't it? Thank God I didn't go looking for him. But I'm glad to God be the glory by grace. He come looking for me. Amen. I didn't find him. He wasn't lost. But he found me. I'm glad, thank be unto God. It's all about him. And listen, thank God you can't pat your bad yourself on the back. When it comes down to your salvation, all you can do is point your finger toward heaven and say, to God be the glory. Wonderful thing that he has done. Amen. But he says unto her, listen what he says. And Boaz, chapter verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn. And she did eat. And for the first time in her life, and was sufficed. She was satisfied. For the first time in her life. Idolatry, she wasn't satisfied. World wasn't satisfied. But one meal at the table with Boaz. And she says, I'm satisfied. Can I tell you tonight, thank God the world won't satisfy. But one meal from God's glory of heaven, oven in heaven, will satisfy the hungry heart. Amen. Dear Lord God, I thank
thank you for this day and this time. Thank you, God, for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I beg you to help me tonight. Give me that I need from God. Touch me in a mighty way. God, we need help from God. Need a touch from you and a word from you, Lord, tonight. Give me that I need from you in your blessed, holy, and humble name. Oh, Lord God, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. You can notice, Ruth, I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. You won't get my message. You can see Ruth as a damsel in the field. Bible declares that the world in which we're living in is a field that's white to harvest.
Right.
And this morning, today, thank God you were a damsel in the field.
Yeah.
But ain't it good that you can come into the house?
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, yeah. See the damsel in the field, verses 1 through 6. But this verse number 8, she becomes not only a damsel in the field, she's a daughter in the house.
Yeah.
Ain't it good to not only be a damsel in the field, but ain't it good to be a daughter in the house tonight?
Oh, yeah.
If you're born again, lift your hand up. Ain't it good to be a daughter in the house? Amen. But not only do we find a damsel in the field, not only do we find a daughter in the house, in verse number 14, and she becomes a diner at the table.
Yeah.
Thank God it just gets better and better and better.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you. Don't you listen to me carefully. Notice what he says. He says, and Boaz said unto her, at meal time, come thou hither.
Oh, yes.
Listen to me real carefully. I'm glad Sunday morning we're all a daughter in the house. Sunday morning I think I had 120 daughters in the house. Boy, I'm glad for those daughters in the house, Sunday morning times. Sunday night time, daughters in the house. Wednesday night time, daughters in the house. And all week long, there have been damsels in the field. But I like it when we come into the house together.
Oh, yeah.
And become daughters in the house. That's family, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That daughter symbolizes a family in the house. Amen. And she's a family, she's a daughter in the house.
Yeah.
But he said, they're going to be a meal time in the house. And at mealtime, I want you to come in here and sit down at my table.
Oh, yeah.
Stay with me. It ain't always mealtime at my place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some thinks it is, but it ain't always mealtime. But every now and again, unexpected by the preacher, undetected by anybody, we go to hear that dinner bell ringing.
Yep.
Thank God, it may come through the choir when she's a ringing.
Yeah.
It may come through a special song when it's a ringing. During the morning, it come at a strange time. During the morning, we all heard that dinner bell when I said, Brother so-and-so, would you mind bowing your head and praying? And he bowed his head, and the minute he said, my God, my God. Thank God you heard that dinner bell go to ringing. And before he got done, we was all seated. Thank God every daughter turned into a diner at the table. Thank God I like it when he rings the dinner bell. You understand what I'm talking about? You ever know how many churches don't understand that? You ever know how many churches look at me funny when I tell them it's not always dinner time at my house, at my church? They think I'm crazy. But I'm glad to be at a church that knows what I'm talking about. Amen. You say, preacher, why don't they know? I doubt they've ever had dinner with him. Amen. But if you've ever had dinner with him, you know the difference. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I was in a church, y'all gonna preach me today. I was in a church the other night, and I was sitting there the first night. This church was bigger than I'm used to. They had big old cameras, big old screens up here, and big 12 by 12 over here. The center didn't look like it had never come to an end. And I'm looking across that congregation, ain't got bigger than I've ever seen. But they got time to service, and I heard a bell go to ringing.
Yeah.
I heard that bell ringing. I'm talking about their church bell. And I looked at my wife, and that sounds strange. She said, it's just a bell. I said, but there's something wrong with that bell. Tuesday night, I heard it ring again. And I leaned up to the man in front of me. I said, what's wrong with that bell? Here's what he said. He said, it ain't real.
Yeah.
He said, it's a recording.
Go ahead.
Amen. Yeah. I'm glad I've heard enough bells ringing.
Yeah.
That I know when the real bell rings and when the real bell don't. Amen. Let me stop and tell you something. I don't know how far I'll get tonight. But let me stop and tell you something. If he ain't ringing the dinner bell, sit still.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean, preacher? Just go through the order of church and sit still. He knows when you need a meal, and he knows when not to ring her.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm interested in this dinner table and her sitting at the table. And when God lets you and I sit at his table,
yes, sir, preacher.
By the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach a few minutes on resting at God's table.
Amen.
Resting at the table with God.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, we need to rest.
Oh, yes.
I may be getting to get into one of my messages that I might preach this week. But I'll tell you something. We've labored and labored and labored. We need to every now and again stop and rest a while.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm not talking about going on vacation. I'm not talking about quit singing the choir. But I'm talking about that inward man needs to put his feet on the table with God and rest sometime. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with it. Do y'all know what Adam done the first day he was created? He was created on the sixth day. What when he was created and God gave him a job? Take care of the Garden of Eden.
Yes, sir.
But ain't it amazing, on the first day he was alive, God didn't tell him to go to work.
Yeah. That's right.
The first thing you do, Adam, is rest.
Yeah.
Y'all's wheels are turning. I can tell by looking at
brother.
You. Before you do anything with a set of pruners, I want you to know how to rest first.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. I understand labor.
Yeah.
And I understand we need it. But let me tell you why we're falling out by the wayside. Because we're forgetting the spot where God provided us a place to rest.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Would to God one more time we'd learn to rest in God.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Now, that'll catch up with you here in a minute. First of all, let's look at one thing. Who's the server at this table?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. Who's the server when God rings the dinner bell at your church?
Yeah.
Who is it doing the serving?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you one thing. It is not the preacher.
You're right.
Amen. We say it like this way. When he's in the house, just get out of his way and let him have control.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Hey, y'all know that around here. I know you do. Thank God you say, why? Because he served a lot better than I do.
Yes.
I'm glad at the house of God, when the meal table, when the bell goes to ringing, he's the one that's going to do the serving.
Amen.
Listen for a minute. Listen. Boaz reached her parched corn. He's going to be the one doing the serving. He's going to be one doing the feeding. Lord have mercy. Thank God for a faithful pastor that'll sit up here and feed sheep week after week. Amen. Just go to feeding sheep week after week. I know he's got to be through God, but I'm lucky when the big preacher shows up. Thank God, and me and the little preacher got to take a back seat to the big preacher and let him do the serving at the house of the Lord. I think I know what they need, but I'm glad when he comes in serving, he knows what they need. He knows every bite they need. He knows what they need. He knows never what they need concerning nutrition, and he knows how to feed the people of God. Amen. But let me ask you a question. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. What is Boaz going to feed her?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question. What is God going to feed you at your church?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and let you know, He ain't going to feed you grandma or grandpa.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That ain't on his menu at church.
All right.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah. And he ain't going to feed you a back cancer.
Yeah.
He got something better than grandma and grandpa to feed you.
You're right.
Stay with me.
That's right.
And he ain't going to feed you the angels either.
Tell it.
He got something better than an angel to feed his youngins.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right. I'm going to tell you what he's going to feed her. First of all, he said, he's going to feed her. Here's three things he's going to feed her. He's going to feed her, first of all, he's going to feed her bread.
Yeah.
He's going to feed her vinegar. He's going to feed her corn.
Yeah.
Preacher, what does that got to do with Boaz doing the feeding? And what does that got to do with God setting the table at my church and feeding me from His table?
Yeah.
Well, let's look what these things represent in the Bible.
Go ahead, brother.
First of all, vinegar represents His suffering.
Yeah.
Preacher, you mean to tell me when we get down to the church, we're going to eat from His suffering? Uh-huh. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Amen. We're going to feast, thank God, on the sufferings of the Lord. You say, preacher, I want something better than that. What's there better to feast on than the suffering of Calvary? What's there better to feast on, thank God, than the suffering that God suffered for mankind? He said, I want you to feast. I'm going to feed you. Ruth, I'm going to feed you vinegar. I'm going to feed you suffering. But not only am I going to feed you vinegar, I'm also going to feed you corn.
Yeah.
Bible says, unless I... Stay with me. Y'all need to stay with me tonight, okay? Don't go fishing on me yet. I'm going to feed you corn. And here's why. Because corn is going to represent my crucifixion. And until a grain of corn falls in the ground and what? Dies. It will not bring life.
That's right.
Amen. So I'm going to feed you my crucifixion. Hold y'all quiet. Stay with me. Stay with me. Not only am I going to feed you my crucifixion, I'm going to also feed you vinegar. I'm going to feed you corn, but I'm going to feed you bread.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If vinegar represents the suffering, and his corn represents his crucifixion, then bread represents his resurrection.
Right.
How many men remembers when your wife, I don't know if they do this up here now in the morning, they still pat out biscuits.
Yeah.
They don't look about like that when they put them in the oven. But when the heat's turned up and the door is shut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Pilate said it this way, go seal it as best as you can. And they put him in that dark tomb.
Yes, they did.
And shut the door over it.
Yeah.
But on third morning, yeah. Remember on that good third morning, guess what happened? Up from the grave he arose. Triumph over death, hell, and the grave. Fire comes back from the tomb. Oh, he's alive. He's alive. Mary said, youngins, he's alive. He's alive. Here's what I want to feed y'all. Ruth, here's what I want. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Those are what I want to feed you. I want to feed you his suffering. I want to feed you his resurrection. I want to feed you his crucifixion.
Yeah.
And I'm going to feed you a live God.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to feed you him.
Amen. Yeah.
What's on the table at church on Sunday morning? It ain't grandpa.
It
ain't grandma. It's him.
Amen.
It's him on the table. Thank God, listen, whatever happened to just having God? Why do we need jokes to go with it? Why do we need everything else to go with it? What's wrong with just having God at church? He is the only thing that will suffice you. Glory to God, amen. Glory to God, amen. How many of you been born again? He's the only thing that will suffice you. Thank God, when hell will pop it and hell will crush it, he'll satisfy the longing of a man's soul.
Amen.
She was so fast.
Amen.
Why? She got fed him. Amen. You know what I think I'll do at my church? Just go feeding God.
Amen. That's good, brother.
Preacher, they lost. I know they lost.
Yeah.
What more can you feed them than God?
Yeah.
Preacher, they discouraged. But what more can you feed a discouraged man than God?
Yeah.
Preacher, they downhearted. But what more can you feed a downhearted person than God?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's what's on the table. He is what she's going to feast from
when the dinner bell goes to ringing.
Yes, sir.
She's going to feast off of me.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad at my church, it's all about Him.
Amen.
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 And I'm going to say at this church, knowing your pastor better this year than did last year, it's all about Him.
Thank God.
Amen. It ain't about coals. If it was, I got one.
Yeah.
I'd give you if you want it. It ain't about a cold. It ain't about stumped toes.
Yeah.
It ain't about broke feet.
Yeah.
It ain't about all of that.
Yeah.
It's about Him.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ruth, I'm going to feed you Him. Something you ain't never had before. But I'm going to feed you Him.
Amen.
Amen. Ruth, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to be the servant. Let me tell y'all something. If God's a servant, He's serving Him.
Yes, He is.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
If you're eating something besides Him, it ain't, He ain't doing the serving.
That's right.
Amen.
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 That's good. Amen.
I done a church last 4 weeks ago. Had a one-night meeting, and I was in a church. And I was tired. On my night to preach, it broke out in testimonial service. Thank the Lord. I was tired. And only God knows. And I'm not being critical, and I ain't going to tell y'all where it's at. I heard everything but God.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
and
about.
And oh, they cried, and they hooped, and they boo-hooed. I'm sitting over here saying, I wish I'd go home. I got an hour and 40-minute drive. I could leave right now.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's boo-hooing over everything but God.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You're right.
Would y'all stay with me just for 1 minute?
Good, brother.
I get in some churches, if I tell them I got a King James Bible, they hoop and holler.
Yeah.
But I tell them about the blood, they don't say a word.
That's
they're the problem right there, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
I'm glad I don't have I just don't have in my hand a King James Bible. I'm glad I got the author of this Bible in my heart.
Yes,
right. Amen. Amen. And I'm more excited about that than I am this King James Bible, honey. Amen. Thank God, amen. Whatever happened, just having God.
Yes, sir.
He's the only thing that'll satisfy the church.
That's right.
He won't satisfy goats, but He will sheep.
Amen.
Hey. It was a blessed day when I found out it wasn't my job to dehorn a bunch of goats.
Yeah.
Just go to feed sheep.
That's right, brother.
Amen. Right. Just go feed sheep.
Yeah.
Thank God. Let me tell y'all something. At my church, when I started there 14 years ago, I had a whole bunch of goats.
Yeah.
A whole 60 of them.
Yeah.
Amen. And they budded everything you could get.
Yeah.
If it was from carpet, they budded it.
Yeah.
That's all they good for anyway.
Yeah.
I know what y'all thinking about me. Amen. But then an old preacher come by there one night. And when he did, Brother Wade Huntley, I don't know if y'all know him or not. But he come by my church one night. And he sat back there and another preacher was a preaching. And I got up here and I was halfway mad. I was young and halfway mad. A bunch of goats been. I don't want to get into all this. But I said, it's hot in here. He said, no, it ain't. We leaving where it's at. That don't work at my church.
Yeah.
If it's hot in here, we turn it down.
Yeah.
They turned it down. It's like, I know they're butting heads all over the church. Nobody worried about what the preacher preaching, butting heads because the temperature had been turned down in the church. And I got in the pulpit as that preacher got done. I want the dehorning goats.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all might not have been there. I've been there. Brother Wade Huntley pulled me aside, and he did what he told me. He said, Brother Steve, can I help you? I said, you sure can, and you won't make me mad. He said, all right, I'm going to tell you. He said, quit trying to dehorn these goats around here and feed these sheep.
Amen.
I said, why? He said, because poor sheep can't take a button from a goat.
Yeah.
But if you get them sheep good and fat, they'll take care of them bunch of goats.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, what? Ever since that day, I've been feeding sheep. I've been feeding sheep. Glory to God, amen. And I come to tell you, the only thing I know to feed a sheep is God. It's Him. He's the only thing. Thank God that'll work in His dead eye. Amen. Amen. Here's what He said. Won't you come in? Not only see the serving of the table, He wants you to sit down.
And she come in and pulled up her chair up beside the reapers.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how she felt?
Oh my.
A little old nobody.
Yes, sir.
Only been here for it, I know, 2 days. Just a second day being here.
Yeah.
And she's probably been told this all the way up the road. They ain't going to take to you. They ain't going to like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They ain't going to have nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It's going to take you a year to fit in up yonder.
Yeah.
But the second day she was here, she had been noticed by a man by the name of Boaz.
Yes,
and but let me tell you something. Listen to me. Boaz is the one that invited her to the table.
Amen.
You cannot get to the table unless he invites you.
That's right.
But if you're invited, nobody can keep you away.
That's right.
But if you got a written invitation from him, there ain't nobody can say nothing about you coming.
That's right.
But preacher, I feel so little to come. Sunday morning they go to shouting, I feel so little to get that thing. If he's invited you, quit worrying about everything and sit down.
Right.
How many of you ever tell him you don't feel like you're good enough to come?
Yeah.
I got news for you. Thank God if he tells you to come, come on.
Amen.
Just sit down.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Who told you could come? That man by the name of Boaz.
Yeah.
Well, you just sit down then. Because he owns this table. Glory to God. Amen. It's a blessed day when I found out Baptists don't own my table. I could preach all night. Wore out and tired as I am. It was a blessed day when I found out independent Southern don't own my table. That didn't bother you, did it? Thank God I'm glad. Thank God this crowd wants to look down their nose at me. Because I ain't doing it like they think I should do it. I'm glad they ain't the one giving me my invitation. Because if they was, they'd probably say, you ain't good enough, preacher Steve. You do this. You put jail in your heart. And you go here and you do that. You ain't good enough. But to God be the glory every now and again.
Yeah.
In spite of the madness. In spite of the brethren. He just come anyway. Come on anyway. And I've got news for you. If he tells me to come, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
But some people, I don't mean to get up here and wear my Moxville and bring North Carolina, where I'm from, up here. But some down my way,
go ahead, brother.
If you don't do it just like they do it, then you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Amen. If your hair ain't certain length, then you ain't never been filled with the Holy Ghost and all that bunch of junk garb. Amen.
Ahead,
I'm glad God's bigger than that.
Sure he is.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad God's bigger than hairspray, wear real glasses and makeup. Amen.
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 No wonder we're starving to death. That's all we're feeding.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
glory
sir.
To God. Amen. Thank God that'll make your crowd meaner than the devil. Amen. But let me tell you, sir, you go to feeding them God, they'll fall in love with him. Amen. Amen. They'll love him like never before. Amen. And let me tell you something. Well, I'm preaching. I went up and preached more than that. Let me tell you something. If you ever fall in love with God, you'll do right. And it won't be bondage when you do it.
That's right.
Amen.
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 That's right.
You'll do right.
That's right.
Boaz says to Ruth, come in and sit down beside the reapers. She come in, inadequate, so little, so undeserving. My computer won't shut down. So let me ask you another question. How many think you deserve that table? What'd you do to deserve it?
That's right.
Preacher, I'll leave right here if you want me to. But I'm going to tell you why you get to come to the table. Not for what you do, for who you are.
That's right.
That'll raise you in your head a little bit.
Yes,
you come not because of what you do, because of who you are.
Yes, sir.
You come because of your position in God.
Amen.
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 Yes, I'm not dismissing clean living. By no means at all. I believe it. I believe it. Go home with me and live with me if you don't believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
When I walked in your motel room tonight, first thing I done, took that remote control and put that thing in that drawer and determined I will not watch it all week long.
Yeah.
And no, I got a TV at home. Sorry. But I got some studying to do.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I got some studying I got to get done. I got to go back home and preach Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And your preacher would ask me to be here through Friday night. And I'll be here through Friday night. So I got some studying I got to get done. Amen. That's why I've done it. And I believe in clean living. But let me tell you something. Thank God I do not come to that table and never pat myself on the back and say I'm here because of what I've done.
Yeah.
I say to God be the glory, I'm here because of who He is.
Amen.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Listen, here, let me get my message, the part I want to get to. I want you to, Ruth, come in and sit down beside reapers. Sitting, first of all, means accomplishment.
Amen.
Sitting, when you sit down, that meant accomplishment.
Yes.
Are you looking at me like you don't believe me? And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice,
yes, sir,
which can never take away sin.
That's right.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice,
yes,
for
right,
sins,
yes, sir,
that taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that the sacrifice?
Yes.
After that, guess what he done? And forever sat down.
Yes.
Why? Because he finished it.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you why we're not bringing sheep to the church no more. Because he finished it.
Yeah.
There was no word for that earthly priest to sit down.
That's right.
Because his job was never done.
That's right.
But when he came as a sacrifice,
yes, sir,
he finished it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Ain't that what he said at Calvary? It is finished.
Right.
He accomplished what he come to do, yes, and he sat down. Yes. So, Ruth, you go in there and sit down because it's going to mean accomplishment.
Amen. Thank God.
What am I going to accomplish? You ain't going to accomplish nothing.
Yeah.
I've already accomplished it.
That's right.
You sit down in what I've already accomplished.
That's right.
Amen. Good.
You sit down. And listen, listen, stay with me. You sit down in what I've accomplished.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to rest right there.
Amen.
That word sitting means accomplishment, and it means resting.
Yeah.
Ruth, I want you to come in. I don't want you to bring nothing with you.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
That's right.
I don't need what you got.
That's right.
I've already accomplished it.
Thank God.
What is she eating? Suffering? Crucifixion? Resurrection?
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to feed you Him what He's already accomplished.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
Amen.
It would be a blessed day when we will learn to rest in what He's accomplished.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why we're exhausted. Because we fell into rest in what He's accomplished.
You're right.
I want you to rest, Ruth, in what I've accomplished. And she, listen to me. She was never satisfied till she rested in what He accomplished. You'll never be satisfied till you learn to rest in what God's accomplished for you.
Amen.
Let me remind you one thing. He finished it at Calvary. And He sat down. He accomplished it at Calvary.
Yes,
he did. Here's what He tells us to do. Now, I want you to rest in it. Rest in what I've done. He made Adam. He made Adam and said, it is finished. And He finished His work. And I said, Adam, I want you to rest in what I've finished.
Yeah.
I don't want you to prune nothing. I want you to rest with me in what I've already finished.
Right.
You don't have to do nothing, Adam.
Right.
Just rest in it.
That's good.
Can I remind you, He's accomplished it.
Yes, He has.
Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross we cling.
Right. Amen.
Here we are. Here's the life we're living. Lord, what can I put on the table? Nothing.
Amen.
Good. Lord, what out of my sack do you want? Nothing. I'm going to tell you why we're living in doubt so much. Because we're failing to rest in what He's accomplished.
Sure. Sure.
Would you give me 5 minutes? Stay with me.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
If I could just figure out what I said, I could rest. No, you couldn't. Because it ain't in what you said.
Yeah.
If I could just figure out the date. Well, I know everybody knows a date. Still live in doubt.
Yes, right. That's
right. It ain't about a date.
That's right, brother.
If I could just figure out where I was at, who was preaching, and we're trying our best to rest by what we're providing.
You're right.
And He said, if you're going to rest, leave your sack alone.
Yes,
I do not need your sack.
That's right.
I do not need none of your grain that you picked up out yonder.
That's right.
Why? Because when you was working, I was finishing your. I was accomplishing what you're going to rest in.
Yeah.
Now, here's what He says. Ruth, at mealtime, come in. You're going to eat of me. You're going to partake of me. And you're going to sit down and you're going to rest in what I've accomplished for you.
Yeah.
Lord, what do I bring? Nothing.
Yeah.
Just rest in what I've accomplished. All right? She sits there. Her little old sack. She don't pull nothing out of her sack to put on the table.
Right.
Can I ask you a question? What can you add to your salvation?
Right.
He done it all.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're all Baptists, ain't we?
Yep.
The minute you got born again from a sop drunk, you'd went to heaven.
That's right.
And guess what? He don't need nothing that you can add to get you there.
Amen.
He finished it for you. Now I want you to sit down and rest in it. It was a blessed day when I learned I could rest. This may not mean much to y'all, but I was raised Free Will Baptist and never did know what rest was. Never did. I thought if I'd done any little thing wrong, I went to hell.
Yeah.
But God be the glory of the blessed day.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And I learned just to rest.
Amen.
In what God has done.
Amen.
For me.
Amen.
Ruth, I want you to rest in what I've done. I want you to come in. I want you to sit down. I want you to rest in what I finished for you.
Amen.
Can you imagine how Ruth feels? Eating from a table she didn't provide.
Right.
Eating from a table that she didn't cook.
Yeah.
Benefiting from a table that she didn't know nothing about. Benefiting from a table that she didn't fix. Let me bring dessert, Boaz. I don't need nothing you have.
Yeah.
I've got it all.
Right. Yes,
all I want you to do is learn to rest in it. I want to tell you what God's wanting us to do. I want to tell y'all something. I want you to listen to me. This subject, rest, has been my subject for a year and a half. And if I preach a meeting, you're going to hear the word rest in my preaching. I'm sorry. And they back over on that motel, they about 9 or 10 on that computer. Well, I don't have my computer with me, but there's 9 or 10 outlines on nothing but resting.
Yeah.
Why? Because there was a day in my life when I needed to rest. There was a day in my life when I was wore out spiritually.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out. Trying to do it. Trying to figure out what God's doing. But I learned one day, sitting on an old mower machine, cutting hay, that I could rest.
Amen.
Not that I need to go home and take a nap, but my spiritual man could rest.
Yes.
And I'm glad to tell you this night, we are wore out.
Yes, sir.
We're exhausted. Because
yes,
we're overlooking this thing of resting with God.
Amen.
And He says, Ruth, I want you to rest with me. While you're resting, I'm going to feed you me.
Thank God.
Open up, Ruth. Let me feed you some of my suffering.
Yeah.
My Lord. Ruth, open up. Let me tell you what you can rest in.
Yeah.
You rest in my suffering, not yours.
Right.
Open up, Ruth. You rest in my death,
not yours.
Amen.
Open up, Ruth. Let me feed you some of my resurrection. You rest in what I've done. You rest in who I am.
Yes, sir.
You rest in me, Ruth. And you sit there and you rest in what I've accomplished for you. Ruth gets done eating. She wants to fast. Bible says, and she left. She leaves that table. Sad to say, there comes a day when that dinner bell rings and we eat, but then we got to go.
Yeah.
Wish we could stay there forever, don't y'all?
Yes, sir.
Then we got to go back to the field. My Lord. If you're going to be good workers in the field, you got to spend some time at the table.
Yes, sir.
We got to go back to the field. In my mind, I'm thinking, Naomi brought Ruth out of Moab for a reason. She heard that there was God had visited His people and given them bread. And she said, we're going back to where bread is being provided. Listen, Ruth and Naomi come back out. I can imagine in my mind's eye, and I'm reading the white pages, those white lines. Ruth, if you never eat no bread from Moab, if you've ever eaten no bread from the land of Bethlehem, Judah, you've never eaten good bread.
Yeah.
Ruth, there ain't nothing like that bread up yonder. Boy, there ain't nothing like that bread. And I can imagine in my mind as she's sitting there, she's thinking what Naomi told her. Naomi said there wasn't nothing like this bread. Boy, Naomi was right. But the Bible says she was a fast. And when she got so fast, she left. Listen to what I'm going to read to you. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was so fast. She's reserved something. After she was so fast. Here's what I think she done. I know a lady over yonder like half of that bread and vinegar and corn.
Yeah.
I'm going to take her some of it. She's been telling me about that bread. Bethlehem over yonder so long.
Amen.
She can't get here. My Lord.
Yeah.
She can't make it here.
Amen.
How many got youngins who won't come to church?
Okay,
have you ever thought about taking them some bread?
Good.
Please don't take them lemon juice from church.
Yeah.
How sad church is, how bad church is.
Yeah.
Y'all know tonight why my sister don't go to church? That's all she heard how bad it is.
Right.
All she sings the bad.
Yeah.
But she goes home. Boy, you need to listen. She goes home and she said, look here, Naomi, look what I got you. Where have you gleaned today? At a man's table, my name is Boaz. Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
Ain't it amazing she didn't say, where have you been?
Yeah.
There was something about that bread that sat at her that wanted to know, where have you gleaned today?
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Yeah.
I want to know because I want to go to where you've been.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Mamas, that boy needs some bread from the table. Daddy, that girl needs some bread from the table. But how can they get bread from the table when mama don't rest there?
Yeah.
How can they get bread from the table when daddy don't rest there?
Good.
How can they get bread from that table? Mama and daddy brings home when mamas and daddies life is in a turmoil. Because they fell into rest at the table with Boaz. Let me ask you a question tonight. How long has it been since you rested with Boaz? How long has it been since you and your heavenly Boaz sat at the table and you were sufficed and you rested in what He's done? I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to tell you. Life is not full of doubts and wonders about your salvation all the time.
Yeah.
I'm glad a man can know
that
he's been born again.
That's right, preacher.
Now I'm going to tell us something. Listen. Can I just preach like I would at my church?
Go ahead, brother.
Ain't it amazing? I know tonight y'all want someone to where's he come from. He come up here preaching about our doubts. I'm going to tell you something. Majority of our Christian life lives in doubt. I asked this question at my church, and I'll not ask it here. I said to my congregation when I was preaching this message 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, I said, let me ask you a question. How many of you know you're saved? And I know who doubts in my church. I know a lot of them. I seen their hands go up all over the building. I said, now let me ask you a question. If you doubt your salvation, leave your hand up, and if you don't, you can put it down. Do y'all know tonight? If you'd had a camera on my audience, it changed very little. Why, preacher? People living in doubt all across my congregation. Needless to say, majority of them were women. I don't know why, but it was true. And I said, now how many of you, I said, put your hand back down. I said, now how many of you know without a doubt you're saved? Every hand went back up. I thought, my Lord. And here's what I asked them. I said, let me ask you this. I pastor my church. And pastoring ain't always rip, romp, and stomping. Sometimes it's getting down to where they live and feeding that Bible to them. Amen. I said, how many of you have ever left a shouting service where you shouted and you worshiped and you testified, but Monday morning rolled around and you lived in doubt? I said, would you please show me your hand? Hands up all over the building. Ain't that amazing how you can shout tonight but doubt tomorrow?
Good.
You know why? You fell into rest at that table.
That's good.
You're failing to rest at that table. It's hard to doubt. It's hard to doubt when you're full of God.
Yeah.
And that's what she's going to get full of at this table. She leaves full of God. But ain't it amazing how often we doubt God? We doubt our own salvation. I don't know tonight. I'm just talking in my heart. Tonight, if the majority of us would be honest, we live in doubt too. But how long has it been since you feasted from the table and dined with Him? And Him, let Him tell you this. You don't have to do nothing but rest. See, we've got it. So we have.
Amen, preacher.
We have preached so much. If you don't do this, you're probably lost. Let me remind you something tonight, okay? David was a man after God's own heart. And he had an affair with Bathsheba. And he had a man killed. And he was about as wicked for a while there as man can be. But we'll preach, if you do this, you probably don't know God anyway. We'll preach that so strongly.
You're right, preacher.
I'm going to say tonight that probably, this is what we'll say, 85% of the church members are lost. That's a foolish statement to be made in a Baptist church. It may be true. It may be true. But can you imagine the doubt He's casted over that congregation? And we're living in doubt. We're living in our Baptist church pews, singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." What a day that'll be. But the whole time we're in the midst of it, we're living in doubt. But I'm glad God says at mealtime, come thou hither.
Yes, sir.
And dip the bread in the vinegar.
Yeah.
And He feeds her parched corn.
Yes, sir.
And He said, I want you to sit down. I want you to rest in what I've accomplished for you. How long has it been since you rested in what He's accomplished? Can I get a piano player? I believe I made this statement last time I was up here. I don't even have a given altar call here tonight. This ain't the first time I preach this message. I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I preach it, I don't know how to give an altar call. Because I end up on the same subject tonight. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you rested with God and what He's accomplished? What He's accomplished, not what you've accomplished.
Right.
Don't look at your do's and don'ts and what you do and what you don't do to determine whether you're saved or not.
Yes, sir. Right.
Let me remind you something. I'm going to say something right here. I may get run off. How many of you ever sat at the table? If you sit there a time or two, let me know.
Yes, sir, brother.
Can I remind y'all something? Can I remind y'all something? Sinners don't sit at that table.
That's right.
Sinners do not sit there.
That's good. Amen.
He don't invite sinners to that table. Sinners must first go by Calvary. Amen. How long has it been since you've sat at the table and dined off of what He's done for you? How long has it been since you've sat there? Give me a song if you would, please. How long has it been since you've sat there and feasted from that table and rested in what God's accomplished for you? How long has it been? Everybody stand to your feet if you would, please. And I'll just tell you tonight, this altar's open if you need it. You be obedient to God. Some of you tonight, you're living in doubt. You know it. I don't know who you are, but I know you do. If you could just pull up a seat at the table. And rest in what He's accomplished. And feed from the table. God. You sure would help your doubt, Mama. Sir, it would sure would help your doubt, sir.
Him tonight.
Yes.
tell you tonight, there's a lot of people, no doubt. They struggle oftentimes, doubt God. And I'm going to say that's the reason they're not resting. I tell you, we need God's help tonight. People about to work themselves to death. There's a spirit of weariness in this hour in which we live. If you'll learn to rest in God tonight, it'll make all the difference. If you know the worth of prayer tonight, I want you to pray. I want you to pray tonight. We need God's help. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you need to move toward God. God's touching you. I'd move toward God. Child of God tonight, if you know how to pray, you need to pray. We need God's help tonight. We need God's help. We need God's help tonight. I tell you, Brother Steve, I just want the Lord on the menu around here. That's all I want. And come tonight to try to impress. I just need God. You need God. So you bow tonight. She's playing. Folks praying tonight. Help us, Lord. Thank you, sister. I want to say tonight, I appreciate the message. I'm glad tonight I understand the message. I understand it. I appreciate the Lord helping me. And the Lord's helped me. I'm glad I've heard the dinner bell ring a few times in my life, brother. He invited me to come and die. I tell you, just like Peter, brother, I fished all night and caught nothing. But he didn't need what I needed. What I had, thank God I needed what he had. I appreciate him tonight. If you remember service tomorrow night, be much in prayer. Pray. Ask the Lord to help. And if the Lord will help us tomorrow night, we're going to do our best to have one thing on the menu, and that's the Lord. And I believe if we'll do that, thank God, you'll get what you need. Because that's what we need, thank God, we need him. A lot of people think we need personalities, we need this, we need that. House of God's turning an entertainment center anymore. And I tell you, you can't hardly get in the parking lot, friend, for the buses. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, we just need God. And if we get God, friend, we'll have what we need. That's what my children need. They need God. That's what these young people in this church need. They just need God. That's it. Amen. If they get God, they will be satisfied. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. This world will never, never satisfy you. It's not what you can accumulate and what you can gain in this walk of life, how much money you make, or what kind of car you drive. I've thought 100 times, well, if I could just get that, I'd be satisfied. Brother Danny, some of those things I've got, and I'm still not satisfied. I'm going to tell you something. I'm satisfied with him tonight. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.